American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices. Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
And I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. For December 18th, 2013, it's Wednesday. Welcome to the program today, and good afternoon, Alfred.
Good afternoon, Melody. The whole world becomes curiouser and curiouser.
It does.
Yeah, I know.
What people thought 100 years ago.
They didn't think about this sort of thing, I guarantee you. They didn't think
they really didn't know. They didn't have the communication.
It wouldn't have mattered if they did. I mean, I can, you know, we see things, and what we're talking about here peripherally is what's happened to the markets after they've announced that there's going to be tapering. And we'll get into it deeper as we get further into the program, but it seems irrational. And it's the sort of thing you look at it, and I can remember, you know, what would people have thought? You talk 100 years ago, what would people have thought 20 years ago? Maybe even 10 years ago. We are facing a system that seems irrational to me. And perhaps I'm the one who's being irrational, and of course I wouldn't be able to see that if that were a case. I would think I don't think I'm losing my mind. They're driving me crazy, but I don't think I've lost my mind. But I wonder about Bernanke and the Federal Reserve and the federal government.
Well,
Melody.
Well, you know, we do have an anniversary coming up. I guess it's the Federal Reserve anniversary coming up here next week. So, should we get a cake?
Yeah, we should.
With 100 candles?
Something like that.
Yeah.
100 candles or maybe 100 sticks.
Da, 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 da. We can think of a lot of hundreds. Hey, are you still there, Al?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. You got very quiet there. Hey, let's just go ahead and look at what the markets are doing today on this very fine Wednesday afternoon, December 18th. Gold has been all over the page, of course, after the announcement. It was actually up most of the day. We're currently looking at down $10 at 12:21. That's $10 at 12:21. Silver's down 13 cents at 19.92. We have platinum down 13 at 13.43. Palladium pretty much unchanged, 7.02 as we speak. We had a high today in gold at 12.45. So the immediate reaction from gold was strong. And then, of course, as they begin to tear apart any word and comment that would be negative to gold, they seized upon it. And, of course, then we saw the pressure come in on gold. A lot of no talk of inflation, no inflation, no inflation. But really, if you listen to Mr. Ben, he's certainly talking that he's more concerned with the lack of it. So we'll be seeing increase, at least they're projected 2% coming up pretty soon in the inflation areas. The Dow Jones, again, they really didn't take off probably until about an hour after the announcement. As I was able to catch a few minutes of it, you know, it went up 150 points, 170 points, pretty much stayed there. It's now up 255 at 16,130. And we also have to remember, folks, it's very light trading in these markets due to the holiday season. So you have the NASDAQ up 41 points at 4,065. It's easy to move these markets to these extremes. And they've been holding it. And, of course, waiting for the appropriate moment to get the biggest response and reaction. The USDX today is down 0.06 at 80.05. Crude oil is up 36 at 97.58. And I did the Dow Jones, and I did do the NASDAQ. The S&P was up 30 points at 18.10. So both the Dow and the S&P ended at a record highs today. And all based on the Fed's decision to ease the stimulus, and we'll be talking about that here in just a little bit. The 10-year yield, which everyone is watching, 2.89%, up 0.04. So just getting a little bit closer to that 3% mark. And we'll be getting into the paper. I'm just glad they did something. I just couldn't stand it anymore.
Yeah, I know. The suspense was killing me, but now that the suspense is over, that's bugging me also. It's one of those things where sometimes I wonder, you know, maybe I should just not pay attention to what these people are doing. That's all. I'm just gonna say no to Federal Reserve reports.
One thing I must say about Mr. Ben, I did catch a few minutes with his speech today, and of course it's his last one as the, you know, the head of the central bank. And he actually looked younger today. He actually looked
He's relieved. He's saying, thank God it's over. Oh, my God, I'm finally out of here.
The makeup, and he didn't have all the lines underneath his eyes. And, I mean, he did look more refreshed today. I mean, that was my first impression, because there was a few times he was looking a little bit, you know, down and out. But so passing the buck to Yellen.
Well, we'll have to take a look at Janet Yellen's face then. If he's getting younger, it's kind of like the, I don't know, that painter, the portrait of Dorian Gray, where he doesn't age, but the portrait does. And now it may be that Bernanke's not aging, but Yellen will. We'll watch and see.
But, we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, I kind of understand with the announcement today, her, you know, taking over the helm. You know, if she would have made the announcement in January, I think the markets would have had a different response. I think with Ben Bernanke saying it, Wall Street loves Ben, and they're confident in that he knows what he's doing and so forth. I think that had a lot to play into these higher numbers. And we'll have to see how this all folds out. Actually, the Dow was up 300 points, 292 points at 16,167. So. Big moves in that, and we'll see how long it lasts and, you know, what reality sinks in.
What's the big question right now, Melody?
What's the big question?
Uh-huh. Now that Bernanke has quit the Fed and he's free at last, thank God Almighty, free at last, Do you suppose he's going to be on Dancing with the Stars in the next edition?
No, I'm sure he's probably going on a retreat with Mr. Obama on his $14 million Christmas vacation.
Oh, Lord.
But anyway, we have to go on, and the Federal Reserve, as I said, announced plans to trim its bond buying program today. They're going to continue with the Fed fund rate. That's going to still remain 0 to 25 basis points. So that isn't changing. And he basically says that's going to remain intact for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Banks certainly aren't going to be paying any more money for whatever the loans they might need. However, it will be different for the consumer.
Well, all it means is when they hold those interest rates that low, they're robbing the creditors. They're robbing people who have had sufficiently prudent and disciplined and hardworking to actually accumulate some savings. If you've accumulated those savings in the form of paper dollars, you can put them in the bank or you can put them in a shoebox. And the interest rate will be roughly the same, right? What you get out of the shoebox and what you get out of the bank will be roughly the same. And if they can manage to maintain inflation, and they're claiming that they're going to shoot for 2%, if they can do that, then you'll lose 2% a year on your principal if you're storing it in the form of paper. So we talked about it yesterday. It's immoral. It's theft. That's what it comes down to. And it's not accidental. Inflation is not force that the government says, oh my gosh, we have inflation, what will we do? No, they make inflation. They cause it. They want it. And it's theft. So what are you going to say about a society, an economy, a government that depends on theft to survive? It's like dealing with a gang in Brooklyn or something like that. So, it just can't last forever, and it certainly can't lead to prosperity. We do have an article here from Reuters that said Fed cuts bond buying but stresses easy policy. The U.S. Federal Reserve announced plans to trim aggressive bond buying program on Wednesday, but sought to temper the long-awaited move by suggesting its key interest rate would stay lower for even longer than previously promised. In what amounts to the beginning of the end of its unprecedented support for the U.S. economy, the central bank said it would reduce monthly asset purchases by $10 billion per month. Well, they're going to reduce it by $10 billion in January, and then we'll see how many more months it goes. It's going to go from $85 billion to $75 billion. And they may sustain it at $75 billion for who knows, 1 month, 2 months, 4 months, I don't know how long. Then they'll drop it again. Perhaps another $10 billion to $65 billion, $85 billion to $75 billion to $65 billion, but not necessarily $10 billion drop every month. But in any case, January will go down to $75 billion. It trimmed equally from mortgage and treasury bonds. And what just amazes me and astonishes me and frustrates me is that the sky didn't fall. We had those episodes over the past probably 3 months. I think there were two instances in three, maybe 4 months, where Ben Bernanke stood up and said, we're thinking about tapering. And the markets instantly, when they just said we're thinking about it, the equities markets, bam, dropped like a little stone. And then Bernanke came back and said, oh, no, we're not going to taper right now. No, we're just spitballing there. All right, he backed off on it, the markets resumed, right? They got back up. But the reactions from the markets at just the threat from the equities markets, at just the threat of tapering, they dropped. And now we actually see tapering, and what happens? They go up. Now, either the markets are crazy today, or they were crazy the last couple times Ben merely threatened to taper. And I want someone to tell me, is the market crazy now, or was it crazy then? Melody, can you tell me?
Well, you know, you're going to hear arguments that the markets now know what's going to happen and when it's going to happen. So, you know, it's kind of like having a plan. When they don't know, that's what the, you know, when there's a question up in the air, you have that uncertainty. So that is why it bred those big drops. But if you truly do look at, I think what made the markets go up was the thought that the economy is actually better.
Yeah, that's the implication.
But yet you can tear apart the numbers that they're basing it on. We all know the unemployment. The biggest drop on the unemployment rate that we saw was a lie. It was admitted that they lied. They fudged that rate. You also have a lot of people that are falling off the books, people that no one cares about anymore. They've become so discouraged, they gave up looking for work. That's a big segment of that drop in the unemployment rate. Plus, the jobs that are coming available are part-time jobs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the distortion, the true fact that the rate is 7% is...
You mean the unemployment
rate? The unemployment rate is 7%.
And even that's questionable. The John Williams Shadows, comes in around 23%.
Yeah.
22-23%.
Let's take a number in between. You're still looking at 12-13%. So, you know, it's, you know, they're basing it all on, and their goal is to get to 6.5%. And he said that they will continue, even the, and you mentioned about the Fed fund rate, even below 6.5%, they will continue with the
low interest rates.
So they know those numbers aren't real.
I understand. And one of the other things, we talked a little about this yesterday, but not on the program when you and I were just talking about this. If the Federal Reserve believes the economy is getting stronger, and that's the premise for tapering. They're saying, oh, the economy is strong enough to be weaned from quantitative easing, three, stimulation, and survive on its own. The whole idea behind tapering is that the economy is in a state of recovery. Well, that may be true, but here's one of the things that's interesting to me. Maybe I've just missed these reports, but if Christmas sales were good, I would expect to be there would be newspapers and magazines and everything else would be announcing this. Oh my gosh, we're having a great Christmas retail sales season. We're not hearing that, and the silence is just deafening. The last time I picked up on any reports, I noticed any, were back around Black Friday, Thanksgiving of last month. And this is, they talked about Christmas sales then, and I haven't heard anything since. Now, this is not proof, but this is at least a peculiar kind of evidence that suggests we're not having a very successful Christmas retail season. Maybe we are. I don't know. I haven't heard. But if we were having a good season, I'd expect to be hammered with it every day in terms of happy days are here again. Insofar as Mr. Bernanke and the Federal Reserve are bailing out, they're tapering. All right? The premise is that they're tapering because we have a good economy. But is that the reality? And that reality should be apparent in our Christmas sales. And I haven't heard anything. What about you, Melody? Have you heard anything about Christmas sales to suggest they're good, bad, mediocre? What's happening? Do you know?
No, there really isn't a lot of discussions. I haven't heard much of any reports about the holiday season. And if the economy was so good, wouldn't they taper $20 billion maybe, or $25 billion, or $30 billion? If the economy is so doing so well, or would that be just too... The problem is no one's buying our debt. That's why they're buying these bonds. That's why you got this money going into this month. Nobody, just like the 10-year yield, you know, the reason it's going up is because nobody wants our debt.
And that includes,
rates are gonna have to rise.
And in my opinion, that includes the Federal Reserve.
True.
They don't want to buy any more of these silly ass bonds and mortgage-backed securities.
They know
they're toxic assets, and they're tired of buying them. They want out. We're going to take a break for a couple of minutes, Melody. It's time for our commercial announcements. We'll get back and we'll talk more about the Fed, the Federal Reserve, the federal government, and all the masters of the universe that are running this economy. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19, 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What you got for folks today, Melody?
Well, we have a very limited supply of 2012 W100 Platinum PCGS Proof 69D Cameo. And it's actually signed by the U.S. Mint Director. The signature series of coins have become very popular amongst collectors, and they're very reasonably priced. And again, earlier in the day, we only had like 25 of these coins available. I'm not quite sure what is left, but if you're interested, you need to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And we're just going to pretty much give them away almost at wholesale price. Price on these coins would run at, let me see what kind of a special that I can do. They would be running at $1,566. And again, these are limited edition 2012 W100 Platinum PCGS Proof 69 Cameo. And they're signed by the U.S. Mint Director. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
Do you have any idea how many platinum $100 Eagles are being manufactured, produced, and sold?
I can find out here in just a bit off the top.
I was just curious. I don't expect that that's a huge market. Because platinum, people buy silver, people buy gold, not so much platinum. I mean, it's there, but I assume it's not a very large market, but you can correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I mean, of course, I don't buy platinum as a preservation of wealth. I buy platinum or palladium as more of a speculate. Because at these levels, you do have platinum trading above gold, but not that far above gold. And certainly platinum, where it comes from, South Africa, they certainly have their problems, and any problems in the mines and in the workers and strikes and so forth. You certainly can see some significant rises in platinum. And with platinum and palladium being used as material for catalytic converters, of course, everyone is looking to China as they continue to purchase automobiles and so forth. And of course, with technology, too, platinum and palladium is used quite heavily, so as all the precious metals are. But I think platinum and palladium, due to their heat resistance, is far superior. So, but again, I mean, we certainly have seen platinum breach the 2000 level, but there was particular concerns at that point in time. It's very difficult to mine, and it's very difficult to extract platinum.
Well, we're not just talking about bullion coins right now. That's what the government mostly, where I wanted to go with this is, I'm guessing that the government doesn't make many of these $100 platinum coins, 1 ounce platinum, and it compares to the, $20 Silver Eagle, no, $1 silver.
Well, let me just say this one thing, though, too, which I failed to. They actually, the platinum bullion coins have not been produced or offered for sale since 2008. So when I say this is a limited edition.
Yeah, that's where I'm trying to go with this.
Exactly.
This is, and particularly, if I understood correctly, you were saying this was an MS69. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, you did.
All right. I'm going to guess that there aren't many of those around.
Well, we have,
and from a collectible, for people who want to do, that are interested in collectibles, this ought to be a pretty interesting coin. There can't be many MS69s around, and on top of which you said something about, a signed certificate from the director of the Mint or something. Is that true?
That is correct.
Yeah. There's got to be
each coin is signed. Each coin is signed. Now the proof coins, they'll continue to mint and so forth. But coins that's being sold as bullion coins, no, you're absolutely correct. And mm-hmm. So yeah, there aren't a lot of them, and we have 25.
Yeah. Well, that would be, again, if you're interested in collectibles, blah blah blah. This sounds like a good deal to me. One other question that crosses my mind: what's the cost today for an MS69? Let's say an MS69, $20 Liberty.
Well, you'd be paying millions of dollars. But, I mean, if you go into a Mint State 61, $20 gold piece, I mean, you're paying $1,500.
Well, then we're talking that the Mint State 61 gold is approximately the same price as the Mint State 69 platinum. And I'm just saying, from a collectible perspective, if you're interested in collectibles, this sounds like a coin that has a lot of potential to me. It seems to me it might be something you put away for 5 years or something and stick it in the safe or wherever you want to store it. But it seems, I just get the feeling that this is a great opportunity.
You know, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, and what people don't understand is if you buy collectibles, the right ones, at the right price, you really can't go wrong. What happens,
just depends on how
the market, you really can't go wrong. The market, that sector of the market was abused. And, you know, by a lot of these dealers, everybody knows who they are. By certain dealers, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, the market was basically abused. The coins have done very well. You know, they have their markets just like anything else. They go up, they come down. But if you buy it right and you pay the right price and you buy the right coins, you can do very well. And when you buy collectibles at my price, what I offer to my clients, I mean, you're stealing them. People save thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars when they buy a collectible from me versus some of my competitors. So for those of you who are in a situation to buy that type of a coin, give us a call. They're not for everyone, but if they're free, you know, give us a call.
What if someone was looking for a particular coin? Not one that you're advertising, but someone called up and said, here's what I want. I want an 1876 MS65 something. All right. Is that something you can, I'll find out what I'll give you a price and get back to you.
It depends on the coin. I mean, I deal with the largest dealers in the country, the largest wholesalers in the country.
Mm-hmm.
They'll look for it. They'll find it.
Yeah, if it's available.
People are willing, if it's available, but the people got to put up their money. I have, over the years, I have searched for coins, I have found coins, and then the guy will say, well, you know, I guess I'm really not. No. If you've got the money, you want the coin, we'll search for it. We can even go to auction for you. There's auctions all the time. We will do that for you. You can save thousands and thousands of dollars if there's a particular item. If it's a common generic date, no. It's, you know, you really have to separate the markets. You got the true collectible market. You got the generic markets. Someone's looking for a 1908 No Motto, Mint State 63, State Gaudens. Yeah, I can probably get it for you. No big deal. I'm not going to, you know, search the country for one. You know,
just the city,
right? It's a little bit of
common. Yeah, I can search the country, just the city.
Just the city. Just my inventory. Just my inventory.
Okay.
And, I'll make a few calls. But if you're looking for particular, I mean, and we have beautiful coins. We had a beautiful silver dollar yesterday. It was a $16,000 item. In April, it was selling for $21,000. I mean, it was a steal. Beautiful coin. There was like, 650 of them ever minted.
I understand.
And most dealers would sell that coin today for $25,000. So, again, it pays who you buy them from and the type coins. So there's some collectible coins I wouldn't buy. But
I've got an article here from Yahoo Finance. And it says, is it finally time to buy gold? Now, this is an interesting article to me. On one hand, I don't like it. On the other hand, I'm surprised by it. This is essentially mainstream. Yahoo Finance is not exactly the Wall Street Journal. But on the other hand, it's not just a little blog either. This is serious. This is mainstream speculation. And they're asking the headline, is it finally time to buy gold? And they point out gold is trading 36% below its 2009 low. Is it finally safe to buy gold? And gold ETFs like SBTDR Gold Shares, GLD, and iShares Gold Trust, AU, IAU. That's a loaded question. The short answer is we're getting close. And then they go on to explain some technical reasons for it. And the reason this interests me, on the one hand, they're suggesting that gold is finally bottomed. And this is coming out of an element of the mainstream media. Now, that's interesting to me. And they're saying it's just about time to start buying gold again. For people, you know, we're going to see an inflection and the price of gold is likely to rise. They don't say that expressly, but that's the implication of the article. But the article is also misleading, in my opinion, in that it advocates buying paper gold. It's primarily talking not just about physical gold. It says buy gold and gold ETFs, exchange-traded funds, blah, blah, blah. But the article, again, they're advocating we get paper rather than physical, or at least that's the implication. So what do you think, Melody? Is it time for the price of paper gold to go up again? Or is it already time for the price of physical gold to be going up?
Well, certainly when we have the kind of year that we've had in gold, I mean, it's just, you know, human nature, the investing nature of Americans is they don't want to buy anything that's down. And that's the wrong attitude.
Well,
that's
exactly. You buy low and you sell high.
Buy low and you sell high. I think that's I think the downside risk to gold is much less than the upside, meaning I think you have little downside compared to how it could take off very quickly. And what happens is people get these numbers in their mind, well, I'm going to wait till gold gets to this number. It never does. And then once it goes beyond...
Or if it does, even then they don't pull the trigger.
No, because they think it's going to go lower. You always think it's going to go lower, and when you're at the top, you always think it's going to go higher.
Yep.
And, I mean, that's just... And you can't... You have to focus on the fundamentals. Gold is different. This isn't gold at 250 anymore. Someone had mentioned, well, gold's going to go to 250. No, it isn't.
That's not.
It's not going to go to 250.
That is not going to happen in our life.
Because we're not living in the world of 250 gold. We're really not living in the world of 1,200 gold. But and they do have to keep a sense of reality to everything in order to keep their little illusion going.
Well, who do you mean has to maintain a sense of reality? You mean the potential buyer or you mean the government's
got government?
The government. Yeah, I understand. I understand. Here's a little excerpt from an article by Andy Hoffman. And he says, it's a couple of sentences. He says, moreover, saying that gold and silver may be hit, i.e. suggesting COMEX prices may decline, ignores the fact that this is no longer a dollar-centric world, as it's entirely possible that amidst falling paper prices in the United States, due to additional manipulation, of course, we'll simultaneously witness soaring prices overseas, as is the case currently in India, where premiums have surged above 20%, creating significant physical shortages. What they're saying is in India, if you want physical gold right now, you're going to pay a 20% premium above and beyond the price of gold that's being determined on the COMEX markets, and that's what we're quoting today. That's what we're measuring today. What's happened on the COMEX market? What happened in the paper market? Those are the prices that are coming out of New York. But if you're buying gold in India, you're paying 20% premium if you get physical gold. All right? And he goes on and he says, to wit, the gold priced in dollars, euros, and pounds is roughly 35% below its all-time high. But in rupees, Indian currency, in rupees, it's just 20% below its high, and in yen, barely 10%. Now, how is it possible that we don't have a global price equivalence for physical gold? How is it that the price of physical gold in India is significantly higher and the price of physical gold in Japan is significantly higher than it is here in the United States? And the answer is market manipulation. More, the schism between the price of gold, paper gold, and the price of physical gold are beginning to be seen in global markets. The world is recognizing that the price of gold, as determined in American and British markets, are no longer the prices of paper gold, excuse me, is no longer an accurate reflection of the price of physical gold. Inevitably, that recognition will expand to the United States. India gets it. Japan gets it. They're paying more for physical gold than they're willing to pay for paper gold. They're not being bamboozled by the price that comes out of New York and they say, oh, it's only worth X number of dollars. And the people in India say, oh, no, it's not. 20% more. I'm not sure what's 20% more of, we're talking a fifth. We're talking another $250 on the price of gold. And that's what you can get it for in India. Right now, if you want physical gold, you're going to pay about $250 more per ounce. I don't think this is a fluke. I don't think this is they're going to one day say, oh, my gosh, we're overpaying. No, they weren't. They were on the right track in India. They are on the right track in Japan. They're paying just 10%. where are we? Break time again. Oh, my gosh. I had a punchline we wanted to deliver here. Well, we're going to take a break, get some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cedarstrom, and we'll make one more comment on this separation, divergence between the price of physical gold and paper gold when we return. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. And when we broke for this last set of commercials, I was talking about the divergence in the prices of paper gold and physical gold. And anyone who's followed the markets, they know the manipulation is all being done by means of paper gold. It's these paper certificates, and there's some perhaps say there may be 60 to 100 ounces of paper gold being sold on the markets for every 1 ounce of real physical gold. And thus, the price we get from New York, from the exchanges, the price we're getting is, it reflects the price of paper gold. It's not the price of real gold. We have been led to presume that the price of paper gold and the price of physical gold are the same, and we've accepted that presumption in this country to an enormous degree, and it makes us vulnerable to the kind of manipulation that becomes infuriating at times and frustrating. But we're beginning to see, and people have talked about it for a couple of years in anticipation, but we're beginning to see that the prices of physical gold and paper gold are diverging to a significant degree. Andy Hoffman reports that the price of physical gold in India is 20% higher than the price of paper gold in New York City. And the price of physical gold in Japan, 10% higher than the price of paper gold in New York City. This is a divergence between the physical and the paper prices. Now, people say, well, that's Japan, that's India, that doesn't count. But in fact, number one, we know that recognition will expand to the United States. And number two, it's already here. insofar as many gold investors who were previously happy to accept payment for their investments in the form of paper gold. All right, they went into the market and they got a certificate for X number of ounces of gold, and they speculated and traded and one thing and another, and they turned their paper in for cash when it was done. They paper gold for paper dollars, that was fine with them, because they thought the paper gold, the price of paper gold and the price of physical gold was the same. They were of equal value. But that's not happening anymore. The people who were previously happy to accept paper payment for their investments in the form of that had been made in paper gold are now demanding to take delivery in physical gold. And as a result, COMEX inventories have plunged dramatically. Now, what does that mean when someone says, I don't want a check. I want the physical gold. Give me the gold. What's that mean? It means that they understand that $1 million in physical gold is worth far more than $1 million in paper gold. That knowledge is already here among the major players in the markets here in the United States. As the prices of paper and physical gold continue to diverge, the price of paper gold will be seen for what it is, a derivative. It's every bit as speculative as investing in Iraqi currency. Paper gold and physical gold markets, paper gold and paper gold markets like COMEX will become increasingly irrelevant. Physical gold will become increasingly valuable and controlling. And again, we're seeing it in terms of dollars. We're seeing it in Japan. We're seeing it in India to a significant degree, and we're also seeing it here in this country insofar as people are demanding to take physical delivery of physical gold rather than cash or some sort of paper gold rollover. Andy Hoffman, he concludes, it's only a matter of time before pricing is dictated in Shanghai, not New York or London. And that pricing will be determined. It will be based on physical gold, not paper gold. When that happens, we're going to see a dramatic increase, and it's just another one of these, again, timing. When will we see it? I don't think it's going to happen in time for Christmas, Melody. As much as I wish it would, I don't think it's going to happen for this Christmas,
well,
but it may happen for next one.
You never know what the day can make a difference. But, it's interesting how so much of the changes and how things are being priced is coming from that area of the world. I mean, look at Bitcoin. China comes out and says, yeah, hey, we're not, banks are not allowed to take any more deposits on Bitcoin. And it plummeted. And so they're making a stand against Bitcoin. China's making a stand against Bitcoin. So to me, that's telling me their view of monetary policy. Stamps their approval for gold.
I agree.
They don't want that virtual currency. They're not recognizing it as a currency. And therefore, to me, that was a very big statement.
Well, if they are rejecting bitcoins.
Yes, they are.
And given the amount of currency that they've paid for tons, they're importing something like 100 tons a month for the first 10 months of this year of gold into China. That's an average. They've had months where they brought in as many as 231 tons of gold in a single month, if I understand correctly. China is all about gold.
Mm-hmm.
And insofar as they are rejecting bitcoins, it has to be to maintain the value of gold. And insofar as they're rejecting bitcoins, you can assume that China will also reject other forms of currency that are contrary to the best interests of gold. And what would all those other forms of currency include? Certainly the U.S. dollar. They've already said they're not going to take any more paper currency and store it as part of their currency reserves. They're backing away from paper. Huh? And
well,
we shall see who's right and who's wrong, but odds are they are correct, and our government is wrong.
For countries like India and China, gold is in their blood. They understand it. They know that wealth has to be measured against something. What, you think wealth can be measured against the debt Absolutely not. The only reason the Fed pull back their taper is because their balance sheets can't handle it anymore.
Yeah, I agree.
And they're going to continue to buy these assets. They're going to let these bonds come to term, and then they're using that money in order to buy more. That won't show up on anywhere. They're not going to make those, you know.
They're going to conceal the fact. Why are they going to roll those bonds over, Melody?
Nobody wants our debt.
Yes, and if they roll them over, they don't have to admit that their price is dramatically less than we're led to believe.
Yeah.
They got a bond that says it's $1 million. They're going to roll it over rather than put it on the market and find out that they can't get anybody to pay more than $600,000 for it. They can roll it over, and who's going to purchase the new bond with the money that they had from the old bonds? And it'll be the Federal Reserve. They'll just continue to maintain the illusion that these bonds are worth their face value, or approximately that, when they know it's not so. And I think this is part of the reason. There may be multiple reasons for the Federal Reserve going into the tapering process.
I think their balance sheet is just getting too big. And you got to remember,
too much in debt, they can't do it anymore.
Exactly.
It's evidence to me that the rats may be leaving what they understand to be a sinking ship. They're saying, look, I got to get out of here before we get caught. We're going to have a balance sheet. I'm going to have $10 trillion worth of worthless alleged assets that are all toxic.
They're already at what, almost four?
Yeah, they're at four right now. They're about.
So, you know, when you see these reports, and, you know, we've listened to this for months on end about tapering, everything is timed. You know, everything is theatrics. They're going to release information and do things for the best time. They're going to get the most bang for their $10 billion.
Well, that's what everybody wants to do. I mean, everybody's, in the end, everyone is going to try to protect themselves.
Yep.
But what are we protecting ourselves against?
American people aren't protecting themselves. They're not buying gold.
That's what they'd like to do. That's what ideally.
Their problem is they
don't understand. I think a lot of them don't understand who or what they're protecting themselves against. And the answer is they need to protect themselves against their own government. The government is the one that's causing the inflation, the one who's keeping maintaining artificially low interest rates.
It's more than just the government, Al.
Well,
it's these multinational corporations. It's various governments. It's a whole big
adversary. You need to understand who your adversary is. You need to recognize it, not being bamboozled by the idea we're here to help you. Speaking, you know, government, oh yeah, we're here to help you. No, they're not. And there's just evidence on evidence on evidence to support that opinion if you have sufficient courage to look at it and see it. You look at that and you say, oh, yeah, I can see the truth. It's not just having eyes to see and ears to hear. It's a matter of having sufficient courage to face the truth and what we are talking about. We're seeing evidence. China's trying to protect itself. How's it doing? It's protecting itself by buying tons and tons of gold. Federal Reserve, in my opinion, is trying to protect itself. How? By saying, we're not buying any more of this damn paper. It's not worth anything. We're going to go broke. We're going to be bankrupted if we keep buying these paper bonds and these mortgage-backed securities. They're doing it to sustain an illusion. They know it's not true. And in the end, the Federal Reserve is going to pay a big price for sustaining this illusion and buying these toxic assets. They want out of the situation. And all we're trying to suggest here on this program on a regular basis is that if you folks are smart, you will also sit back and say, you know, I'm going to do what the Chinese are doing. I'm going to do what the Federal Reserve is doing. I'm going to get away from that paper and put my wealth into something tangible. Gold and silver are the classic examples of what you can use to protect your wealth.
You know, Al, earlier in the program, we were talking about the holiday season, and this came out of the AP. Sparse crowds at malls, 50% off signs at various stores, The Gap, Ann Taylor. is our signs. It gives a clue as to how the holiday season is going. This is shaping up to be the most discount-driven holiday season since the country was in deep recession. It's also one of the most disappointing for stores. Sales are up 2% to $176 billion from the start of the season on November 1 through Sunday. And, of course, that was data obtained by the AP from Store Data Tracker, Shopper Track. That's a slower pace than expected, given that there are just days left in the season. Shopper Track is forecasting that sales will reach 2.4% to $265 billion for the two-month stretch. That's typically the busiest shopping period of the year. The modest growth comes as the amount of discounts. And there you have it. This is the most disappointing season since the Great Recession. And yet, Ben Bernanke is dropping $10 billion from the stimulus, you know?
Because the economy is in a state of recovery.
Because the economy is in a state of recovery.
No, it's not. You know, it's frustrating at times. We wind up repeating this kind of information on a regular basis, in part because we receive the information on a regular basis from Bernanke or from whoever. Oh, yeah, happy days are here again. Well, they're not. They're not here, and there's not really evidence for it. And again, what that tells me, Bernanke is saying, oh, happy days are here again, therefore we can afford to cut we can afford to taper and cut our $85 billion a month stimulus program. The reality is more likely to be found in how many people are buying Christmas presents and how much they're spending on them. And if we're not having a recovery, Bernanke has to know that. We're sitting here wondering about it. All right? I'm wondering because of the silence. Melody reads the first report we've seen in some time on this. All right? We're wondering. Bernanke has to know. He has to know what's going on. And if the information we are finding about the Christmas sales, if that's accurate, Ben knows this is not a good Christmas season, and yet he's saying things are getting better, and so we can afford to taper. He's lying. Why is he doing it? In my opinion, I think he's, again, I think the rats are leaving a sinking ship. They're saying, look, we can't go into this any deeper. We're going to destroy the Federal Reserve if we keep buying more of these, if we keep buying more and more of these toxic assets. Now, they're going to keep buying them for perhaps another year, but they're going to buy less and less and less. And that appears to be their motive on this thing, at least to me. So, having said that, Melody.
Well, there is one person in Georgia and another one, I don't know where that other person was from. Who won the Mega Millions last night. So they have a couple of $100 million they can put into the market and maybe help the Christmas season along. And they need to buy gold, so they need to give us a call at 800-375-4188.
15 seconds.
That's it. 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call, folks. We'll be back tomorrow. I'll be here. Will you, Al?
I've got, if the good Lord is willing, I expect to be here. I have no other plans.
Lots of talk about.
Thanks for listening. We will be back mañana. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, E. Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have.